We're in lesson 37 in the book of Ephesians, and we left off in verse 3 last week, but we'll read down through the first six verses once again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. When we left off in verse 3, if you notice, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, notice the unity of the what? Spirit. Okay? Is it that? That's a big S, isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's not the little s, the spirit that you and I may have, human spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And there are seven essential things that every believer shares in common with every other believer. And Ephesians 4, verse 4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now, there's a description of unity there. And it's just not something you and I just made up to have common knowledge with each other, a commodity, if you think that. He, Lord, describes what the unity is. And notice that it is the unity of the doctrine. That's why we are here today. And you can't have real unity without understanding of the doctrines that describe what God has done for us and what he's doing in the body of Christ. There is how many bodies?
One
body. And that is the basic essence of the unity. The body of Christ is one body. And that means secularism, if I pronounced that right. Denominationalism is what?
Against the body.
It's against the body. It's carnal. It's fleshly. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, Paul writes the book of Corinthians. Are they lost people or saved people? They're saved people, but yet they have this division and strife and envy going on. And he says, and you walk as men. So that denominationalism and that secularism, it is of the flesh. That's all it is, the flesh. And God, the Holy Spirit, does not lead you and I in secularism, division, strife. He does not leave us in disunity or any kind of things like that. So who does that? We do, don't we? Our flesh says, I don't like this about this guy, or I don't like this about this place, or that type of thing. That's just flesh, guys. That ain't got nothing to do with the Word of God rightly divided. If the Word of God is to study rightly divided, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher, which he is, every believer would speak the same thing, wouldn't he? He really would. But you know as well as I know, you go out here and you go, you know, anywhere in the secular world or anywhere in the religious world, do they speak the same things you do? 9 times out of 10, they do not. You might as well just face it, they do not. But isn't it sometimes when you sit and talk to somebody, and they understand what you're saying? That's a rejoice, isn't it? That's a joy and all. Dispensationalism is a must when you come and understand the Word of God. The reason believers don't speak the same thing and don't teach the same thing, it's because the flesh gets involved. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm building. That type of thing. It gets involved and carnality gets involved, and they break up and deny the peace that we hold to the unity of the Spirit. The one body, that is all that's there. One body. Not 12 bodies, not 16 bodies. One body is there. And every member, every saved person is a part of the one church, the body of Christ, whether you like it or not. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Many of you know this verse very, very well. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For there is three spirits.
One.
And we're all baptized in 14 bodies. Right. Is that what it says? But you would think that there are people out there believe that, because everybody's got a spirit. It might not be godly spirit, but everybody got a spirit. For by one spirit are we all baptized into how many bodies?
One
body. That's one body and one spirit formed by what? How many baptism?
One
baptism. You got that? One spirit, one body, and it's formed by one baptism. And that one body with the one spirit has one baptism, and you can't forget that. Don't ever forget that there's one baptism that matters. And every member of the body of Christ is indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans 8:9 says, that you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians 4, be turning to Titus chapter 3 and Titus chapter 2. Now, Romans 4:4, that we just read, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now, Titus, where did I say go? Titus 2, right? Titus 3:7 reads this. And we're going to chapter 2, don't worry. Titus 3:7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of what?
Eternal
life. So our hope is eternal life, and that eternal life is realized at the catching away, what we call the rapture. Okay? Because you don't have the eternal life. You're still hoping for eternal life, but you have it. You with me? But you don't have it positionally yet, do you? Or positionally you're there, practically you're not there. Is that right? Okay, thank you. You with me? You have it. You already have it positionally. But practically, you're not there yet because you're sitting right here.
Right, that's the hope.
That's the hope. Okay? Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Well, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says this. You there?
Mm-hmm. Was it 11?
Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation will appear to all men. What does that say? Is that a done deal?
Yeah.
So that's past tense, isn't it? You know how we talk about times past, but now, and ages to come? How we really stress that in the Bible, that God did some things in times past, what he's doing now. That's times past in Paul's epistles. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. It's already happened. You don't have to wait for it again. It's a done deal. Then it says in verse 12, teaching us, this is but now, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteousness, and godly in this present world, but now. So, can we do that? Absolutely. If we choose not to, who's making that choice?
We are.
And the what? The flesh. The flesh says, no, I'm going to do this. I don't care what this is, I'm going to do it. That's but now. Then verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's ages to come. We're looking for that great hope and glorious appearing. And when you read about hope in Paul's epistles, and that's the rapture, by the way, you read about the hope in Paul's epistles, you constantly are reading about the catching away, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and get me. You know, he appears to the clouds. He don't come on the earth to get you. He goes to the clouds. He calls you out. Okay? And our hope is the catching away. Even if you die today saved, you're going to be buried, you're going to take a dirt bath, and you're going to be there until he catches you out there. The dead in Christ will be raised first. And then those who will remain will be changed in the twinkle of an eye. That type of thing, right? That's what the scripture says. So the ones that died, that trusted Christ, that we know, that trusted Christ and they're dead, they're going to be called up before you. So there ain't no worry about sorrying about them, are they? Mm-hmm. Don't sorry over them guys. You know, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But their body's still going to be called out and be changed. They're going to get a new body. We know that. The catching away, the rapture at this point in time, when of all things that God has promised to us and that God has given to us literally becomes our possession. That's practically. We're going to have it. But you don't have it right now, do you? Positionally, you do. So we got to remember that. That's what a first book of first three chapters of Ephesians is a standing, and then the state. Now we're working in the state of who we are in Christ and Christ in us. Now you right now are being told to walk worthy in the position that you have in Christ. That's what we've been studying, right? It says that. Live up to that position. But at the rapture, you would literally be in that, in the position, the adoption and the sonship status. You're going to have that. That's going to be real. As much as you're reading it about it, it's going to become a reality. I can't wait, guys. I really can't. You know, I guarantee you many of us was this tall growing up and watching uncles and daddies and granddaddies and what they had and what they possessed. And you're like, one of these days I'm going to get that. One of these days I want that. Some of them didn't look at you and say, hey, it's a hard row to hoe, you know? And it was, wasn't it? And today you're in a position, they're long gone, and you think back, wow, I realize what they said now. I do have some things that they had, whether it's house or cars or gardens or, you know, anything like that. Many of us don't have big retirement plans. Especially when you preach the grace message, you might as well, you're working the rest of your life. But anyway, the thing is, but the benefits are out of this world, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, amen. That's, you know, the rewards are just outstanding, man. Can't beat that. But anyway, the thing is that we look for things. We have that spirit of adoption now. But the rapture is the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body comes to reality. And you won't have to just walk worthy of it. You'll be living and in it. You know, I think about the times when you read about Ezekiel over here in times past, the books that's going to take place over here, and Israel's going to be called to walk in their statues. You know, and you, they're not going to have no other choice. They're going to have it, their possession. They're not going to be able to sin. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing right today?
Yeah.
But we make that choice. Once again, we can choose not to do that. Sometimes I had to beat this flesh down. Says, you can't do that. And my flesh says, oh, yes, I can. And you're warring with each other. And you're just like, okay, I really didn't eat that 12th hamburger. I'm sorry. You know, that type of thing. You know, I use that as an example, but there's other examples you and I could do. But it will be a reality. But now it is our hope, your earnest expectation and eager anticipation for that rapture. Hey, I can't wait, guys. And the older you get, you realize you want it to come even more, don't you?
Yeah.
When you're young and you're vibrant in your youth and you're like, I want to live. There's so much I want to see. There's so much I want to do. And you're like, yeah, I understand that. But make good choices when you do that, because you could hurt your body doing that. Right? You can make a decision, get in the wrong vehicle with somebody and they drive down the road on the opposite side of the road or whatever. You can get a wrong airplane, you know, and go to Cuba or somewhere. I guess it's legal to go to Cuba now. I don't know. But anyway, things like that. All these things are made blessed realities in our life. And it's just not the prospect, but the ultimate in reality. It's all of it coming together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. You know, the book of Ephesians is awesome, guys. You know, we can't go over it enough in our church, in our personal life, to know some things. And it's just wonderful to say, okay, yeah, I got it. But is it? Do you have it? When it comes to reality, then you know you got something. Now, this is a hope, isn't it? This is a blessed hope. Chapter 4, verse 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Now, the Lord is Jesus Christ. The faith is a doctrine to believe, to be believed today. And what doctrine would that be?
Dispensation of grace.
Dispensation of grace, Pauline truths, Romans through Philemon. Now, we'll see here in a little bit that you can argue with any other doctrine. The whole Bible's got doctrine in it, right? The whole Bible is teachings. but the one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all, is God the Father. And you have God the Spirit in verse 4. And God the Son in verse 5. And God the Father in verse 6. It's unmistakable. Right? All three of them there. And notice that that God the Father is above all, is said to be above all. He is transcendent. He is sovereign, isn't he? And he's he is said to be through all things. That is intimates. If I pronounced that right? The closeness and the proximity to everything, he's there. God the Father. Okay? And he says he is in you all. Now, some of the new Bibles leave the word you out, and the commentaries have to explain that. It doesn't mean he's in everybody, even the unsaved, but it means believers. You don't need nobody to take it out for you because you know what you means. Right. He's dealing with who? You, the believer. Can I share this with you? And I'll stand corrected, Paul does not write to unsaved people. All his 13 epistles are written to saved people. But it seems like some of the things they're doing is unsaved, but they're still saved.
Amen.
Now, that's hard to grasp for some people, especially when you're dealing with lost people. Like, oh, your Christian says you can do anything you want to. No, I can't do anything I want to. Teaching us to deny ungodliness. Didn't we just read that? We want to deny that stuff. But look, the you is there. In you all is the intimacy that God shares with all the believers. So the Father's transcendent, he is imminent in his creation, he is yet intimate with the believers. That's God the Father. Now anybody can father a child, right? We know that. But very few can be a daddy, Abba Father, right? So, but God the Father, creation, he's the Father of it all, is he not? Mm-hmm. And when you are his, he is your daddy. He is your daddy. And by the way, if you ever study doctrinal statements in the church history and how they formulate it, you will see the resemblance of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I don't care what kind of church in the past, they will stand on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. They'll stand on it. It's a resemblance there. And some people say and believe that the doctrinal statement in the early church was based on that passage right there. And if you do your church history, you'll find out they did believe the one God, one Father, one thing. But what has happened over the centuries? It's got watered down. People got mad and all that stuff. Accumulation of it. The doctrines of Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 verses are those things which are basically to our fellowship. And you got to remember that because, to be in a ship with some fellows, don't you want them on your same side?
Mm-hmm.
What rowing, a rowboat, many of you rowboats and all that stuff. And you have, what's that one they put like 5 or 6 people in it?
Yep.
What are they called?
A crew,
but they're like all rowing together. Well, the other day we have a rowing machine at the gym and we had to row 250 meters under 1 minute. And then you had to get out and do these thrusters, okay, push-up and stuff. And there was 4 rounds of it. So I got on that rowing machine, getting there and putting your feet in there. And you start rowing really quick to get the thing spinning, and your meters go by quick. Well, I was doing this, and my butt slipped off the seat. And the seat went flying, and I went down on that bar. And I'm like, but I didn't let go of the oar. I'm like, I'm not going to let go of the oar. That oar can save you if you're outside a boat. Some of them will. And the coach came over and he said, that's okay. You fell out of the boat. You got wet. That type of thing. I had another fellow there that understood what I was doing. You know what's with me? Some of them could say, ha, ha, ha. Hey, leave that alone. Let them get it. and you're going like this and trying to put the seat back under you and all that stuff. But I'm saying it's good to be in the same boat with the same people. That's what fellowship is, guys. And the passage is greatly abused today. And the reason is that they abuse is verse 5. What does it say? One Lord, one faith, what? One baptism. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, didn't we? By one Spirit are you baptized. You should write down beside your that verse that we're reading right there, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You should write down 1 Corinthians 12, 13. And Colossians chapter 2, I'll read it. You should write Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 beside that verse.
That was 1 Corinthians what?
1 Corinthians 12, 13. By one Spirit are you baptized. Okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism. By that verse, you should have those two verses right there with what we just read. Because you're buried with him. Who's that him?
Jesus Christ.
By one Spirit are you baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. It is the one body with the one baptism by the one Spirit. I believe many of you know that and believe that. But many of us have been part of different types of baptisms in our life too, haven't we? And they're still going on. It says, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the minute that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, God the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you and places you in the body of Christ. That happens the split second you're saved. How do you feel? Was you looking for a Mack truck to hit you? Was you looking to win the lottery? Well, your spirit did. It won because you walked from death to life.
Amen.
You know, it took you from, and some of us, you know, we were expecting, well, how do I feel when I get, well, how was your spirit before you were saved?
Dead.
It was dead. So how could it be alive? Now it's alive. And you understand that you have a doctrine inside of you. Now, if you got baptized by the Spirit in the body of Christ, okay, well, let me back up for a minute. And some say, well, along with that baptism, you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, whoo, you know, hit me and all that stuff. You know, zap me or whatever thing. But let me ask you something. If you got baptized by the Spirit in the body of Christ, and you got water baptized, and you got baptized by the Holy Ghost, and you got baptized, and you're going to get baptized by the by fire. How many is that?
Four
of them. Going to get baptized. How many baptism does Paul say that they are?
One.
Which one's right? I'll go as far as this. There's 12 different baptisms in your Bible, guys. There's three in one verse in Matthew chapter 3. There's 12 different baptism in your Bible, and the very first one ever recorded, Paul writes about being baptized into Moses. Don't you know all your fathers were baptized in the baptism of Moses? Now, wait a minute. Here you got supposedly millions of people coming out of bondage in Egypt. It wasn't just Israel, guys. It was whoever wanted to leave, Pharaoh let them go. So when they came across that Red Sea, it split. They walked on dry land, and he said, you were baptizing to Moses. You ever thought about what that meant? It wasn't a water baptism. Because if water had anything to do with that particular thing, who got wet?
The Egyptians.
So what happened to them? They're glorying in heaven right now? They showed everybody on earth that they was baptized. That was judgment, guys. That was judgment on them. So that baptism, what was doing, and this has helped me more than anything, baptism, Greek word, if you want to, but baptismo means be placed into. So they're identifying themselves with Moses. You with me? So that children of Israel and whoever went through there identified themselves with Moses, and they walked through and they became a part of Moses. Same with the John the Baptist and so on. So the thing is, how many baptisms that Paul says?
One.
You know, people don't like passages like that. One baptism.
What's the one in Matthew you said?
Matthew 3, where John Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one comes after me will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. And with fire. That's 3. See? How do you explain that? But anyway, Lord Jesus Christ says, I've got a baptism you can't be baptized out of. And baptism death. So there's oodles of them there. Well, 12. But look, it just says there's one. Now, in order to get around that, they have a lot of tricks. They'll say something like, well, what it means is this. It means just one real baptism. You may not come across that, but you will when you deal with it. Hey, baptism gets you a fight. It will, won't it?
Just spray water.
Yeah. Well, you know, you sprinkle, you duck, and you pour. You know, think about that. There's 3 there that really will fight you when you come across people. But think, in order to get around this, they throw tricks on you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, where we're at. Can you sit there and say just one real Lord and one real faith?
Mm-hmm.
You better not say that. It don't say that.
What?
It says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know in your heart there's one real one for today. But it don't say one real. You with me? So that's some tricks that people throw at you. Many of us struggle with people like that. And we need to show how to use verses with scriptures. Many of you know in your heart right now, if something bugs you and you look, this verse just don't make sense, what do? You throw your Bible down and you go to the Book of Commentaries, right? You search the scriptures to find out that it's so. And when you do, you have a real problem that you can have a real problem with your life and with spiritual activities if you don't. You always look for a verse to help you. You know, there's we stand on 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, that's the only verse in your Bible that tells you to do that. So how in the world can you find another verse? Sometimes you don't need another verse. You just say, hey, that's what God says. That settles this. You with me? There's verses in the Bible, Nehemiah 8 and 8, that talks about understanding, you know, the scriptures and that type of thing. You have to show a verse that will help you. You don't have to add for us, there is one. You don't need to say there's one real baptism. You know they are. But you just stick with the words. Some people say there's one real one and there's a ritual one. Yeah, there's people out there, all kinds of things. Well, you know, there is a real Lord and a ritual Lord. These things don't make sense. So I want you to keep your ears open when you talk to people, because they're trying to justify their baptisms. They're trying to justify the Lord that they serve. Is there a real faith and a ritual faith, a real hope, and a ritual hope? You know better than that. You know better than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8.1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says, for though there be that are called, what's that say?
Gods.
Big G or little G?
Little G.
whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and what? Lords many. Now, are they gods many and lords many? You better believe they are, or he wouldn't have said it. Yeah, so there are two verses here, verse by verse, that interprets what he is saying. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as they are gods many and lords many, there are many gods out there. You know who they are? False gods, angels, you know, that type. I can't help but thinking that in the garden, when Satan goes to deceive Eve, he says, "You'll be like gods."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was just more than just God, the creator there, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, and you had Satan. See, this is about the fall, guys. So if he can say you'd be like gods, he's already got Satan's little gods already in the universe. If I can say that. And many lords. Well, that verse says they are what? They are many. Is the world and the heavens populated with all a lot of gods and a whole lot of lords?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the verse just said. Think about this, guys. You're just not in your own little world yourself. It's a big, lot bigger picture than what it is. Verse 6 says, but to us there is but what? One. You see that? Is big G, little G?
Big.
Now who would that be? God. And the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one what? Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, by are all things, and we by what? Him. But there is one God, the Father. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. There is a whole lot of little G's out there, little gods. And you know, can I tell you something? I was one of those little gods. When you start lifting yourself up, look what I'm doing. Can you not feel yourself full of pride like Satan did? Because he was Lucifer and become a god. Can't you become a god in your own world?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There are a whole lot of lords out there in heaven and earth too. Or world and in heaven. But we pay... Let me ask you. Do we pay any attention to that? Should you pay any attention to that? You can, but what? You shouldn't. Because how many gods there are? We pay attention to God Almighty, don't we? Mm-hmm. To us, there's one God. There's only one and one Lord, Jesus Christ. You know, I was looking at that passage this morning and looking at the fact that John 10:34, the Lord Jesus Christ told the Jews, "It is written in your law, I say ye be gods." He told them that. He said it was written in your law. And it used the little G's. So what are they doing? They're going to lift themselves up. I'm the law. I'm above the law. And they get that out of Psalms 82:6, where God says you'll be gods. And that's kind of weird, though. You know what I mean? But he knew their hearts, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He knew their intentions, how they was going to lift themselves up above all. Now, with that in mind, turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get through this passage real quick. There's how many lords?
One
Lord. There's just one Lord, or are they many lords?
Well,
the answer is yes, yes, right? Think about it. It is. There are many, but to us, how many are they?
One.
How many faces are there in the world?
One.
They're literally, they're many a face, aren't they? But how many are we going to choose?
One
faith. There's a whole lot of faiths in the world and the Word of God, but to us, there's just one. There are a whole lot of different baptisms in the Bible, and we just named four of them. Okay? But to us, members of the body of Christ, how many are they?
One baptism.
One baptism. Amen. There's just one. He is not saying that there is just one baptism in the Bible. You know better than that, because if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you should just shoot that out of the picture right there. There's plenty of baptism in the Bible. And just like he's not saying there's only one Lord and only one faith, people will use that and say, well, there's only one faith, that's Genesis through Revelation, that settles it, that type of thing. There's one faith, one set of doctrine to believe. You know that's nonsense, don't you? I hope you know that's nonsense, because that's not who you are in Christ. He don't see you that way. He's saying, hey, guy, get with the program today. He is saying to us today, the members of the body of Christ, they're just one. So scripture with scripture, the interpretation of the passage says to us that as members of the body of Christ, participants in the unity, that spiritual oneness that God is creating today, there's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one body, one spirit, and one hope. There's seven there. And what's the number of seven?
Perfection.
Completeness. Perfection. And as the brother's prayer request was today about the unity and the decisions we have to make, you can make your decisions in life, not just politically, but every decision you make in your life today, me too. You know, I'm not exempt. I'm not holier than thou. I think you understand that. But look, the thing is, I can make my decision based on that right there and anything that I'd make in my life. Whether it's raising kids, whether it's going job hunting, whether it's investing, whether it's living or dying, you know, whether it's political. You've got to know the unity and know that there's people out there believing the same thing you do. You know, it's dark days we live in, guys, and it's been dark days. But with the technology that we have, it's been magnified. It makes me sick. Sometimes everything you turn on, you go to like this Facebook, and you just want to see how somebody's doing. Next thing you know, got 15,000 ads. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you get by this stuff? You go click on a story that you want to read, and something pops up you don't want to see.
Wow.
Congratulations, you just won $1,000. Click here. I'm like,
you can't get out of it.
So it's consumes you, whether your mind is being tricked. And the battlefield's right here. And we got a mind of Christ. And like I said, you know, you do whatever you want to. But the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and we can study. We can make decisions based on who we are.
Mm-hmm. Father, Jesus is joined to the Lord as one spirit.
One spirit. And we're joined to the big S, guys. That's the glue.
Big spirit.
Yeah. And that's how we come together corporately here. And what next lesson, we're going to see some about divisions. You know, disunity and all that stuff. You know, Paul says don't do that. But there's some going on. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We ask as we consider this message of who we are in Christ, that it's a great one, and we thank you for that. And it is a battle, Lord, whether it's in the flesh or in the spirit, that you tell us to yield our members to. And it's a choice that we have to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.